spiritual growth and development. That's what we're talking about tonight. But instead of Moses' life, we're going to be talking about spiritual growth and development in our lives. And we're going to be looking in James. James chapter 1 is going to be where we're going to be at tonight. And while you turn there in James chapter 1, let me read you a verse in James chapter 2, verse 24. It says, "We are justified by works and not just by faith." So in our daily lives, when people see us out in the community, what people see us here in the church, and what our families see us doing, how we respond, the way we react day to day, is what justifies our faith. I think when I read James and I read about having a victory through trial in James and how much of encouragement trial can be in our own life, and knowing how we're supposed to respond to trial, I can look at my own life and say that I have fallen very short of making sure my works represent my faith or my works justify my faith. So tonight, before we get too into the message, ask yourself that question. Do my works justify my faith? Could you ask a good friend that question? You know, maybe even an unsaved friend. When you look at me and you see my responses, what do you see? Normally, in your workplace, people are going to know if you're religious or not. And they'll normally pick up pretty quick if you're one to swear, take the Lord's name in vain. And that's normally just the beginning of your works representing your faith. But how do others see you? Even in the church, how do other people see you? James is a good example of this. Because not only was James saved late in his life and didn't have as many years as maybe some of us have to grow spiritually, James was met with the ultimate decision at the end of his life, whether he was going to say, yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when he said that, instead of denying that, he was thrown off the temple and then stoned. His works represented his faith. But what kind of faith and works did James have through a life of spiritually growing? Did he show to get to the point where he could make the ultimate decision to say, I am willing to die for my Heavenly Father. I know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and my faith is everything to me, and everyone is going to see that. Because this is my ultimate goal, to please my Heavenly Father. Pastor said it a couple of weeks ago that when we die, we're not all going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And when you think about that, that would be horrible. That would be horrible to know what Jesus Christ is expecting of us, knowing what He did for us, and then not hearing the ultimate words from our Lord and Savior when we go to heaven. So is your life representing your work or your faith? Let's go ahead and read 1:1-8, and I'm asked Mr. Frank if he could read that.
For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the time we have here tonight. Lord, please give me the words to say, Lord. Please help for the things that I am going to say to make sense. Lord, please help for your spirit to move this evening and your word to be understood. In Jesus' name, amen. So James chapter 1, signs of spiritual maturity, or are we spiritually maturing? James lays it out very simple for us. What kind of things should be seen in our life for others to see spiritual maturity? It says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptation. So my brother, count it all joy when you have a temptation or trial of any kind, outward or inward. Do we remain joyful in God even when trials come into our life? This is a tough question. In fact, it even gets tougher if you go back to when James first wrote this message, and he speaks it to the church there in Jerusalem who is facing persecution, and he opens up with, you know what? We need to remain joyful with what's going on around us. And then you take it back to our lives. And I'm sure no one in this room tonight is facing real persecution or the possibility of losing our life, but are we remaining joyful in Christ when trials come? Well, the only way to do this is by living spiritually and not naturally. If we want to grow and mature spiritually, we have to begin to live spiritually. So often you see someone get saved, and sometimes they even take that first step, being baptized, but then they never make the switch over from living the way they've already been living over to living spiritually. And as we go through this tonight, if we live spiritually, our mindset, our vision of the world, of the things around us, are going to completely change. And if we're going to remain joyful like James talks about here tonight, we need to make sure we're living spiritually. You know what? James isn't telling us to deny the physical or personal struggle that we're having. We can't do that. The struggle's there. We know that Satan roams around as a roaring lion waiting for who he can devour. And he's sending temptation. And there's things out there that are going to tempt us every single day. Our emotions are going to be attacked. James isn't saying to deny the struggle. He's saying instead of looking at the struggle, look at the struggle while you're focused on God. Change your focus. And it's going to start with the little things that I'm sure it had to in James' life. And when he focused on God, the little things, and was consistent and focused on God in the little things, that when the ultimate trial came in his life, he was ready to make the correct decision. He was ready to look at the trial with joy, knowing that he was going to please his heavenly Father no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the outcome. Another thing that we need to realize about this joy is not only do we only have it by living spiritually, but it's not an emotion that's going to come and go. This joy is something that when we are saved and we ask the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts, this is a joy that comes with Him and it can stay with us forever. It's not a joy that's going to come and go. In 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9, it says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So we see that this joy is not an emotion, but instead it's a yielding to God, looking at trials through the eyes of faith. So how are we going to remain joyful? The first step that we're looking at tonight to spiritual maturity, yielding to God, letting God go in front of you, right? When you yield to traffic, you're letting them go, okay? Not my life, this is God's life. I'm yielding to Him. He's going before me. And looking at the trial through the eyes of faith. When you're following a big semi that's in front of you and you can't see around him, if it was all glass and you could still see, but you would have a different perspective with what was in front of you. And when we yield to God and we look at a trial through God and through the eyes of faith, our perspective is going to be different. Why? Because we have the joy of God. We're allowing God to lead and direct us. So why count it all joy? Verse 3, it says, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience, or produces perseverance. So why count it all joy? we know that God is testing our faith. He is trying to make something great in us. So if we're going to remain joyful and we realize that this joy is not an emotion, but it's something that the Holy Spirit has given us and it can remain constant, when God said He is trying our faith, we know that He is not trying our emotion. When God sends a trial into our life and we respond with emotion, we are not responding in faith. God is not trying our emotion. And so often, me, you, we show the world our emotions and they don't see Jesus Christ. I was just talking to someone the other day and we were talking about being an example and we were talking about a little different scenario, but I said, you know, I think it ultimately comes down to people don't know what they're missing because they don't see Jesus Christ in our lives. When we're at work, we get emotional. When we're at church and someone says something to us, we let our emotion show. And we let Satan get in there and hinder our work for Christ. We need to remain joyful, holding on to the joy of Jesus Christ, knowing that we can have that every day. It's never going to leave me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He is with me always. He can always respond with joy. But so often we underestimate trials in our lives. When I first was looking at this message, I thought about covering the whole book of James, you know, from a backed up perspective and saying the blessing of trials. And that's something that I've heard a lot. I'm sure a lot of us have heard someone speak about, but we need to realize that trials can be a blessing. For some reason in our lives, we're always underestimating what God is trying to do in our life with a trial. And the one thing I can compare this to is I've never been to one, but I've watched those auctions on TV where it looks like there's this little vase or vase or whatever you call it. If it costs enough money, I think it's a vase. And it's on TV, and I look at it, it's like, oh, I would pay $25 for that thing. And it ends up going for $2,000. Well, what did I fail to see? I failed to see the worth of what that was. And as Christians, on a daily basis, we are tried and we're failing to see the worth of our trials. We talked about this a little bit this morning. Man, I loved that this morning, talking about Moses. We could almost preach the same message covering the book of Moses. Moses grew so much when he realized that what God was doing through his trials, that God was making him to be a leader of men. I'm getting off track now. Okay, we need to make sure we're not responding with emotion. So verse 3, our faith is being tested, not our feelings, not our emotions. As someone that's saved here tonight that wants to be example for the world, are our lives an emotional roller coaster? What are you portraying? Are you portraying the peace of Jesus Christ? I used to work with this guy that he was saved, he was a Christian. I knew him for a long time. I really thought he was a Christian. But man, that guy, I never wanted to have a conversation with him at work or anyone else, because when I left, I felt like I wanted the world to end right now. Like it was just all doom and gloom. And the thing is this, everyone knew that this guy said he was a Christian, but he showed zero hope in Jesus Christ. There was no joy there to be seen at all. And when you were working with them, I was like, man, I hope I don't get stuck with that guy today. Is that the kind of Christian we are in the world today? It's really easy to come to church sometimes and put on the smile, isn't it? You know, we walk in and people greet us. How are you doing? Wonderful. You know, thank goodness we don't have to be honest in the greeting time, right? You know, do we remain joyful in Christ? Does our lives look like a roller coaster of emotion? Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, be anxious for nothing. Proverbs 29, 11 says, a fool allows his emotion to control him. Isn't that the world we live in today? Emotions control everybody. Don't get on social media. Your emotions will control you, okay? Proverbs 25, 28 says, a man without self-control is like a broken city. When trials come into our life, if we're responding with faith or if we're responding with emotion and not faith, and we begin to get emotional, what always happens in a trial? Satan tempts us. Doesn't he tempt us? He's right there, ready to tempt us. And we're told that if we're responding with emotion, it's like a city without walls. We can't protect ourselves. And if every time that God sends trial to try to build us up, build our faith up and make a stronger Christian, and we respond with emotion, we're going to give in to that temptation. And what God planned to be something good to prepare us to use, so he could use us as a better vessel, Satan got the victory. Like a city without walls. This week, when you're out in the community, don't be a city without walls. Keep your guard up. And start winning this week. Look to be more spiritually mature. Are you spiritually growing tonight? Are you being filled with joy? Are you showing perseverance in the trials that God has come into your life? Are you responding with faith? And then in James 1:4, it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But let patience or perseverance finish her work to be mature, that ye may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Isn't that our goal tonight? Don't we want to be someone that the Holy Spirit can call on at any time and share the gospel? Don't we want our lives to be a life that's going to shine through the community? No matter what's in our life, don't we want to be mature Christians? Isn't that why we're here tonight? Well, it's going to take place after we leave here tonight. That's when our maturity begins to grow. Are we more concerned with getting out of the trial that Jesus Christ brought into our life? Or are we truly looking for what God has for us, showing that patience or that perseverance, knowing that God is trying to work in me and make me a mature Christian so I can be used for His honor and glory? So why patience? Because God is trying to produce a steadfast Christian. We need steadfast Christians today. The Christians that we have today are those Christians that are kind of like the Secret Service Christians, right? They're the people that show up every service. They're always there when the doors are open, and they're there to cheer you on. But are they showing that steadfastness throughout the week when trials are coming? Are they really looking for what God wants to teach them? Or are they just here on Sundays and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights to feel good? God wants to produce a steadfast Christian. But it takes patience. It takes patience. It takes perseverance for us to become the kind of Christian that God wants us to become. And so often, instead of showing patience or perseverance, we say, you know what? Patience is a virtue that I just don't seem to have time for. Right? And we want to, sometimes we're involved in our ministry, we're involved at church, but we're not allowing Jesus Christ to actually show us where we need to grow spiritually. And when we don't have the patience to take God's word when we're going through a trial and apply it to our life, then we're never going to be spiritually mature. We're never going to be able to do the things that Christ really wants to use us for. You know what? This works the same way as our education system. When I was in first grade, I wanted to be in second grade. Well, what did I have to do? I had to pass the test in first grade first. And then I moved to second grade. And then in second grade, I wanted to be in high school. But you know what? I had to pass a lot more tests before I got to high school. And that's the same way that we need to be looking at our spiritual lives. It's not going to be that we're saved and we're spiritually mature and God's going to use us. Our faith has to be built up. We have to be patient. And when a trial comes to my life, and I can say, Lord, I can look at this through the eyes of faith. I can be joyful Because I know what you're doing in me right now. You're producing a vessel that you can use. And we can find joy in that. So what should patience look like in a Christian? Well, this pretty much comes straight from the dictionary. The capacity, the capability to tolerate trouble without getting upset. Why? Because we're responding with faith. We don't need to get upset because God's not trying our emotion. We don't need to be sad about certain things or discouraged or disappointed because we know that God's always promised a way out. And we know that in the end, Jesus Christ is going to be victorious. And if I focus on Him, I'm going to be victorious too. What about remaining steadfast under a heavy load? Patience. Sometimes trials are long, aren't they? And sometimes I think trials are a lot longer because we're not looking for what God wants to teach us. And if we're patient, and instead of focus on getting out of the trial that we're in or thinking of the easiest way to get around the situation or whatever, just saying, okay, I'm going to give into the flesh and respond the way I want to do that, instead of doing that, if we show patience and we remain steadfast, what is God going to use us for? You don't know what God's preparing you for, and sometimes the greater the trial, the more excitement you can have in saying, the Lord is preparing me for something special if I can remain steadfast under the load. We should not want to just get out of the trial. We need to be looking for what God has for us. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3 through 4 says, "Remember without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love and patience or endurance, steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, your beloved, your election of God." So Paul's telling the church there, man, you guys have been such a great example. You've been enduring and steadfast in faith and your labor of love and your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, when I see that, church, I see that you are chosen and loved by God. That's what he's telling them. So how important is our testimony to the community? Can people look at you, Brother Paul, and say, you know what? He's representing Jesus Christ. I can see that. He's remaining steadfast. And sometimes, almost more importantly, can the rest of the congregation see that? Can they see that of me? Am I showing that steadfastness in Jesus Christ and that hope in Jesus Christ? People are going to see it if we're living it. Our works is what proves our faith. Sometimes we need to step up and put our money where our mouth is as Christians. Jesus Christ was not a timid man. Jesus Christ was bold about what he believed in his heavenly Father. And his short time that he spent on earth, in every moment of it, glorifying him. And we can do the same thing. We see that steadfastness, or looking for what God wants to teach us, is a mark of a genuine believer. A mark that God wants to produce in each one of us. But steadfastness isn't the final step to maturity. Through perseverance, we begin to mature spiritually, it says. Let perseverance finish her work to maturity. Perseverance. When we get home from work sometimes, men or women, and we've had a long day, and maybe something said to us that's going to act up our emotion. Sometimes it happens at church. We get to church and someone says something to us, and right away we want to respond with emotion. But immediately, if we've been faithful, if we're looking at trials through the eyes of faith and not emotion, can respond the correct way, knowing that God is testing me. And even this morning, right now during this trial, when that little silly thing was said that probably wasn't even meant to be a bother to me, even right now, God is getting me ready for what He has for me. Or what about financial struggle coming into our life? That happens all the time. But when we are focused on Jesus Christ and we're responding in faith, and we can pray and say, Lord, I know I've been responsible with the funds that You've given me, and we can count it all joy because we know that maybe the blessing isn't going to be a truckload of money that's brought to our house, but Jesus Christ is going to take care of our every need. And we can show what Jesus Christ is to us. Jesus Christ, solid rock, that's going to bring peace in our lives and continual joy. And we can begin to display Jesus Christ to the others around us and to the world. I tell you, if you want to know if you represent joy or showing joy on a daily basis, ask your family members because they're the ones that know. And we can begin to have joy in all forms of trial because we're responding with faith, not emotion. We know God is in the process of maturing me spiritually. Going through trials, we become more effective for Jesus Christ. A perfect picture of this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They knew that that statue was being built. And because of their role, I bet they knew for a long time. And sometimes the longer the trial, the harder it is not to be emotional. Can you imagine knowing for, let's say, a half a year that this statue is going to be built? When that statue is built, if I don't bow down to it, I will die. I'm being a captive in someone else's land, and I have to represent Jesus Christ. It's going to be hard to not give into emotion. But because they responded with faith, probably with the decisions they had made prior to this situation, right? It wasn't just all of a sudden they were ready to give their life for Jesus Christ, was it? No, they probably purposed in their heart, just like their friend did, right? They've been lifting up one another and remaining steadfast through this long trial of being captive. And when the time came, they didn't respond with emotion. And can you imagine how much more effective they've been for Jesus Christ than if they would have bowed down? Because it's amazing. We're still talking about it today. That's the impact they've had. And if they would have never walked into that fire and the king would have never seen four men in there and their clothes never smelt like fire, what impact would they have lost for Jesus Christ? They didn't know the outcome of that, but they remained steadfast. How did they do that? Not responding with emotion, responding with faith. We got to get moving. It's a quarter till. Do we have joy? We have patience and steadfast signs of a mature Christian? Are we displaying those? And then we see we got to ask God for wisdom. It says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unabradeth not, and it shall be given him. One of the awesome things that I thought was said this morning is when you said, when Moses had a great relationship with God, he began to just communicate with God. And God showed him his will. And God told him his will. And you know what? James is telling us as a new Christian, New Testament Christian, he wants to do the same thing with us. He wants us to call upon him and he wants to show us his will. I tell you what, that's a sign of a mature Christian. I love telling people that God's will for your life isn't a secret, right? God wants you to be great for him. It's not a secret what he wants you to do for him. He wants you to tell you. But you got to be listening. You got to be faithful and maturing. You got to get past the first grade. And the second grade, right? This is something that we have to have patience and work on. I was one time by Chuck Crafter, you might know him. I was calling him for advice like every week. And finally, one day he told me, he said, Jonathan, you know, you can ask other men of God for advice and what they think God's will for your life is, but, you know, you could just go ask God. And that's when I hung up the phone. You know, I was like, oh, I feel great now. Thank you. You know, but that's true. You know, sometimes we need to get rid of the self-help books, and while sometimes advice from others is great, but sometimes we got to stop relying so much of that on that. We need to get in God's word and pray and ask God for wisdom, and he's going to give it to us. When we're faithful to him, he's going to be faithful to us, and he's going to give us that wisdom. We praying and asking God's plan. You know what's great about this wisdom that I'm thankful for? It has nothing to do with our GPA. Amen. You know what? Wisdom has nothing to do with our jobs. This wisdom has nothing to do with the physical things of this world. But this wisdom has everything to do with the application of biblical principles that God has shown us through trials and applying them to our lives. If you want to be a wise Christian tonight, your age doesn't matter. Your GPA doesn't matter. What matters is God's word. You want godly wisdom? Apply this book to your life, and that's where God's going to give us the unlimited amount of wisdom that he's promised to give us. And when we pray for that wisdom, hold God accountable. Lord, you've promised to give the wisdom. I've remained faithful. I need this answer. I need it now. Show me what you need me to do, and he's going to do that. We're going to be able to make moral choices right away. We're going to be able to handle things that might affect our whole families because we've remained faithful and God is ready to show us his will. And it might be one step at a time, but he's still going to show us what his will is. Yeah, we might not know years in advance, but if we knew years in advance, then we wouldn't be trusting in God, would we? I wouldn't be. Godly wisdom is the application of biblical to our circumstances. As Christians, we miss that every day. We look and think, man, how long have I been saved? We see it 10, 20, 30 years, and we're still not applying God's principles to our life. And we say, God, where's the wisdom you've promised me? It's in your hand. Oh, you know, we're missing it. Every day, we're not applying it to our life so often. In Proverbs 13:1, it says, a wise son heeds the instruction of his father. We need to be heeding God's instruction. He's our heavenly father. In Proverbs 3:13, it says, happy are those who find wisdom. Happy are those who find wisdom. And that takes us right back to James 1:2. And we can count it all joy because we know that God is in control and we are trusting in him to make the right decision for our lives. And he's going to do it every time. He never gets it wrong. And we can count it all joy because we're taking the lessons that he's already taught us through the trials that we've remained patient in. We're taking those lessons, applying it to our life, and we begin to have godly wisdom in our life. James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For he that doubts is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. This is not talking about not having the faith that God is God. This isn't talking about not having the faith that Jesus Christ has saved you and he's always going to be with you. No, this is something much more difficult than that. This is talking about us doubting God's will for our life where we don't ever quite fully apply it to our life. John Bunyan calls Mr. Two-Face. I know what God's word says. He's told me how I need to respond. I've remained patient and steadfast. And now that the time has come for me to act on my faith and make the decision to step out by faith and do what God wants me to do, I'll do my own thing. I'm more comfortable over here. I Are we doubting God's perfect will for our life? You know, sometimes we really got to look into our lives to see if we're doubting God. Because it's so easy to tell ourselves that we're doing the right thing. But you know what? If you're not responding the correct way with the little things, how you respond to people that maybe are doing a service for you, how you respond to people in the workplace, how you respond to other Christians, how you respond with the little trials or the big trials in your life shows if you're doubting God. Because if you're not responding the correct way, while you might not be saying, I don't think God's got the right will for me or the right way for me, what you are saying is, I think I know what's best in this situation. And we're showing doubt. And we're like a wave that's tossed around. And you know what? That's so sad to see Christians like that, because it goes on verse 7 and says, for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. For that person must not suppose he's going to receive anything from God. God can't use that person. And like was said this morning, when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, He owns you. We have a responsibility to serve God and to point others to Jesus Christ. And when we fail to take our responsibility and we're not showing people to Jesus Christ and what He's done for us, then God can't use us. Don't think that you're going to receive anything from God. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's unstable in everything he does. You know what? You can be faithful to church every single service. You can be here, you can help out other people, but when you're double-minded and you're fully committed to what God has for you and you're showing doubt in what God has for you, you're not going to be the kind of Christian that God wants you to be for Him. God can't use that kind of Christian. A man without walls. Right? Satan can get in there and do whatever he wants with you. You're not fully committed to God's will. Tonight, this message was supposed to be an encouragement. Knowing that trials is God working on us to improve us, to get us ready for what He has for us. And I don't care what your age is tonight, but God is not done with you. And you know what? Even with whatever age you are, just be excited that God is still working on you and be looking for what God wants to do in your life. Maybe you feel really comfortable tonight here in the pew, but maybe you've been ignoring what God wants you to do. Be looking for that. We're coming close to the new year. Be excited about what God has for you and look to grow more spiritually this next year. Remain joyful. Respond with faith, not emotion. Remain steadfast and patient. Don't worry about getting out of the trial. Worry about relying on God. Because when we rely on God, we don't need to remain steadfast under a heavy load, because He takes the load. Are we learning from God? Are we allowing Him to use the trials that He's bringing into our life? God's not done in us. And in some of us, He just might just be started, but be excited about it.